that song is evident that every single promise that God has made will come to pass. One of the really important things about knowing the scriptures and rightly dividing the word of truth is understanding what God has promised. You know, there's sometimes we have these thoughts that God has promised things that he has not promised. The problem with that is we start to doubt God. We doubt his power, we doubt his care when we misinterpret what he has promised and what he has not. But all the things that he has promised are good things. They're eternal things. They're going to stand forever. We're going to go back to the book of Luke, continuing in chapter 1. We'll be reading from verse 57 to verse 80. Don't get scared. I'm not going to do a line-by-line dissertation on every one of those verses. You'll get to leave here sometime today. But I'll be reading out of the ESV, and I'd ask you to stand for the reading of God's word. Luke chapter 1, starting at verse 57. Now the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. And her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her. And on the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they would have called him Zechariah after his father. But his mother answered, "No, he shall be called John." And they said to her, "None of your relatives is called by this name." And they made signs to his father, inquiring what he wanted him to be called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, "His name is John." And they all wondered. And immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed, and he spoke, blessing God. And fear came on all of their neighbors. And all these things were talked about through all the hill country of Judea. And all who heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, "What then will this child be? For the hand of the Lord was with him." And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "To give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show the mercies promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the wilderness until the day of his public appearance to Israel. Lord, your scriptures say, the unfolding of your words give life It imparts understanding to the simple. Thank you, Lord. Help us to see. And what we cannot see, teach us to trust. As we celebrate what you have done, give us great confidence in what you are doing and will do. As we study past events in your word, show us how they affect our nows and not yets, cementing in our minds, Christ is the answer, so our focus would remain on him. This we pray in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. The message this morning is entitled, Unfolding Promises. Last week, we ended with Gabriel announcing to Mary that she would bear a son and that his name would be Jesus. This would be no ordinary son, for she was a virgin. But the second person of the Trinity would be placed in her womb by way of the Holy Spirit. And he would be called Holy, the Son of God. He would be great and would be called the Son of the Most High. And his kingdom, there would be no end. For nothing is impossible with God. And Mary said, Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. After this, Mary took a trip and she visited her cousin Elizabeth. And when Mary entered the house and greeted her cousin, the baby in her cousin's womb leaped. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and said, Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. Mary then goes into singing a song of praise about what God had done for her. It's called the Magnificat. It's after these events that we pick up our narrative this morning. Elizabeth's birth, this son promised by God through the angel Gabriel. Her husband Zechariah still could not speak as pronounced by the angel because of his lack of faith. When hearing the good news that he would have this son in their old age. At this point, it was the eighth day after the son was born, and they were taking him to be circumcised. And they would have called him Zacharias, the text tells us. I know a lot of people say, no, I don't name my son after me, but this is some evidence that it's been done in the past. And the mother said, no, his son would be named John. They were confused about this, and they said, well, wait a minute. No one in your family is named John. So they go to Zechariah, and he writes on a tablet his name is John. And immediately his mouth was open, his tongue was loosed, and he spoke blessings of God. That brought amazement to the people. And they thought, who would this child that they have brought here this day, who will he be? Notice what led to him being able to open his mouth and what led to Zechariah's mouth being shut. His mouth was shut because of discipline he was going through. Having a lack of faith, doubted the news that had come his way from an angel that was standing before him in the temple of the Lord. He served as a priest his whole life, carrying out religious duties. He and his wife were called righteous before God, and it was said that they walked blamelessly in the commandments and statutes of the Lord. But when it came to trusting God in their personal situation, he had a lapse in faith. And it affected both of them because at that point, Zechariah did not speak for 9 months. Now, I say it affected them both. I don't know if his wife was happy about that or sad, but nevertheless, it affected her. But in the fulfillment of time, coinciding with obedience, his name is John. Zechariah's mouth was loosed. And what do you say after your mouth is shut for 9 months? He praises the Lord with a song. We have angels showing up. We have three different songs sung in two chapters. Mary sings a song, Zechariah sings a song, and in chapter 2, Simeon would sing a song. Zechariah's song is called the Benitus, which means blessed be. He starts out saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel. With this song that his tongue was loosed for the first time, think about who Zechariah was. For the first time, he entered into the meaning of the books which he had been reading since his childhood. All the service that he has done in all of those years as a priest, now all of a sudden, he understood what he was doing. This utterance was more than just a song. It was more than just a poem. It was a treatise on salvation. It was prophecy. It first speaks of the author of life. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, he who has visited and redeemed his people and raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. It had a cause. Why? Why is this being done? On account of the tender mercies of God. What was his essence? For what? For salvation. For the remission of sins. To give salvation to his people. And what were the blessings and the privileges? Being delivered out of the hands of their enemies. And to serve God without fear. You know, throughout the history of Israel, they would serve the Lord, be blessed, forget, bump their head, go off the rails, have to be disciplined, cry out to the Lord, serve God, be blessed, bump their head, forget where their blessing came from, be disciplined, and then cry out to the Lord again. Probably one or two of us could relate to that in life. So where there's text is saying that they would serve the Lord without fear, it means that there a time is going to come where we will no longer, where they would no longer be disobedient, that they would serve God with a freedom. And this day was coming as Jesus is coming on the scene. And what would be the consequence? That all that serve God would live in holiness and righteousness before him for all of their days. These things that Zacharias prophesied about, these things that he sung about, he didn't pull them out of the air. No, they came out of the Old Testament. He was pulling words from Scripture, from God's promises, from God's covenant to his people. The first point I want to make this morning is God does not change, but his plan unfolds. God doesn't change. Theologically, that's called he is immutable. He does not change. The same God that's in the Old Testament is the same God that is in the New Testament. What happens is, as he reveals himself, as his plan unfolds, we get to see clearer who God actually is. Well, what is God's plan? God's plan, real simply put, is that his people would be with him. His plan is redemption. We see that from Genesis 3:15 and throughout the Bible. And throughout the Bible, we see where God comes and visits his people. Emmanuel has come, God with us. Jesus promised, I will never leave you orphan. I will never leave you nor forsake you. In the beginning, God dwells with man. In the middle, God dwells with man to rescue us so that in the end, he would dwell with man forever. The beginning in Eden, I'm going to be with my people. In the middle with Christ, I am going to fix this so that I can be with my people. And in the end, in Revelation, God is with his people. It says in Revelation, and I heard a voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. Put simply, what is God's plan? God's plan is to be with his people. That is amazing. Because God is holy. Because God is perfect. Because God is from everlasting to everlasting. And then there's us. And his plan is to be with us. What is the character of God? We just heard the plan of God. What is the character of God? God reveals himself in creation. God reveals himself in the fall and how he handles it. God reveals himself when he rescues Israel from Egypt. God reveals himself through the prophets. God reveals himself through Christ. And God will reveal himself when we're standing before him face to face. The God of the Old Testament is the same God that's on the cross, which is the same God that is sitting on his throne. He is the same God. God never changes, but his plans unfold. And as his plan unfolds, we get to see him. And he is altogether lovely. God has this macro plan that we just laid out, and then God does that in the micro, in every one of our lives. Whereas his plan for us starts to unfold, we get to see him more and more for who he is. There was a time when we didn't know God and we didn't care about God. Then there was a time when we started to know about God and we were afraid of God. And then he walks you through a process, fills you with his spirit, reveals himself daily, and we figure out he's faithful, I can trust him. He doesn't change. He's holy and I'm not. And then we start to learn, I love him. I love him because he first loved me. I love him because he shows me time and time again that I have no other context for this kind of love. He doesn't change. This plan unfolds. And he reveals more and more of himself. So then the text tells us, so we see the tender mercies of God. God is kind. God is compassionate. God is patient. God is long-suffering. God is loving. God is faithful. Why did Jesus come? What was Zechariah talking about? Jesus came to save us from the darkness. Jesus came to save us from the darkness and to bring us to the light. There are several passages in the Word of God describing that's exactly what he did. Starting in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13, he delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his Son that he loves. To in him we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. The text tells us, because of the tender mercies of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. There's dark days now, and there were dark days at that time. No prophet has spoken in 400 years. Israel was under Roman rule. There were dark days. We know there's dark days just because of the massacre that took place when they even heard of the coming of Jesus. And that was the Israel king that did that. Even though dark days were upon them, a new day was dawning. That's what this scripture is saying, where it says, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness. Imagine what it is to sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. That you know death is on the horizon. And that's your station. You have no hope. You have no joy. You have no peace. This is what's before me. It is in that that Jesus stepped into to guide our feet into the way of peace. Matthew 4:16 says, the people dwell in darkness, seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. 2 Corinthians 4:6 says, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. See, the darkness is not just like out there. Darkness is in here. He had to shine a light in the hearts of men because our hearts were dark. What do you think makes darkness out there? People's hearts, which we were one of them. So collectively, is real dark. That's why people must be saved. That God would shine his light into that darkness. Ephesians 5:8 says, "For at one time you were darkness." No, you were darkness. But now you are light in the Lord. And it ends with, so walk as children of light. In other words, what you are not anymore, so you need to look like that. And light and dark, they don't occupy the same space. John 8:12 says, again, Jesus spoke to them saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." To walk in darkness is to walk in the shadow of death. Light is life. The text says, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David." The next point I want to make is this is done because it is empowered by the Holy Spirit. Now, not only did Zechariah's mouth open, but his eyes were open at the moment he was filled with the Holy Spirit. If his mouth was open without his eyes being open, he wouldn't have done the same things. He wouldn't have said the same words. It's the fact that he was filled with the Holy Spirit as his mouth was open, the fact that his eyes were open, because of the illumination of the Spirit, Zechariah understood the birth of Christ to even be bigger than the birth of his son, which was a miracle in itself. We know that because he spoke about Jesus before he spoke about what God did in his own life. The fact that his mouth was shut and now he could speak was a miracle within itself. The fact that he was able to see Gabriel 9 months before was a miracle in itself. The fact that he's watching his old wife. Look, one of the things that I've always prided myself in is staying halfway in shape. And when I was young, I was in good shape. I liked to look in the mirror. Like, you doing all right. You know, like, I know you young guys do this. You do some push-ups, you go to the mirror. You do some sit-ups, you go to the mirror. I can't keep up with the decay at this point. I'm trying, but an old body is an old body. It was a miracle that he and his old wife had a child. But that was so overshadowed by the illumination that the Holy Spirit gave him that the Christ is here. It took precedent in his song, and everything he related back to his son was even the fact that you get to be the forerunner for the Christ. Part of what messes us up in life is we want to be first. We actually want the Lord to co-sign our stuff, to be on our plan, for us to be the center of what he supports instead of the other way around. And that's not what Zechariah did here. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, he was illuminated. It says, and his father Zacharias was filled by the Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation from the house of David." As he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from old. What was said way back then has come into being. Even in speaking of his son John, the angel said, "And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord. He must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God." When Mary says to Gabriel, "How can this be because I'm a virgin?" The angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. And the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child being born will be called Holy, the Son of God." Look at the work of the Spirit. See, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit are all involved in salvation. You can come on up, worship team. The text tells us in those days, this is when Mary went to visit Elizabeth. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town of Judea. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry. Think about why she's able to say this. "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." Illumination by the Spirit gave her the information that you are carrying the Son of God. And even to the point where she says, "And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Believer, you're filled with the Holy Spirit. One of the things that I like the most about this text is when Zechariah spoke, he spoke in the past tense. He spoke as these things have already taken place that were yet to take place. What if, just humor me for a minute, us believers filled with the Holy Spirit would speak about God's promises in the past tense? How would that change our lives? How would that change our thinking? How would that change our actions? What kind of joy, what kind of peace would you have? Not sitting on the edge of your seat as if God is not going to show up or deliver on his promises. That would change everything. That's how we better start speaking. The text speaks about the tender mercies of God. This is not a general thing that he's just speaking to sinners. This is no blanket catch-all statement. No, it's towards individuals. It's to you. It's to me. It's for my sin. The outgoing of God's love toward the sinner. The angel coming, the Spirit filling, the prophets singing, is because the King has come, Emmanuel. Isaiah chapter 9 says this, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them the light has shone. And then in verse 6 it says, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. If you're a believer, you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Every time you see an act done in this text, it was an act of God. By the power of the Spirit. You can have a gym in your home all you want. If you don't exercise, if you just look at it, if you just recognize, no, it's over there in the corner, it ain't changing a thing. God has filled his people with the Holy Spirit. Number one, it's a guarantee of your salvation. Actually, the Bible tells us it's a down payment. Maybe y'all not catching this. You're grimy behind. Living foul, been sought after by God, and he rescued you from the domain of darkness, and he transferred you into the kingdom of his son that he loves. Hallelujah! That you would be saved by the blood of Jesus. That's the price. You were paid for with a price. And as a down payment, I will not leave you often. I have come to dwell with my people. From the garden, and y'all done messed that up. So the second person of the Trinity steps down into creation. The one that heaven cannot contain and the earth is his footstool contains himself into the womb of a virgin woman. Lives a perfect life and dies a criminal's death. They were shouting out at the cross, if you're the Messiah, prove it by saving yourself. And he actually proved it by staying there, by hanging there, because he is the Messiah. He died so we would have life. so we would walk in the light of life, taking us out of the darkness, not because we deserved it, because we didn't, but because of the tender mercies of God. Don't treat that flippantly. Don't walk around acting like, what do I get out of this deal? How can I manipulate this situation to live the way that I want to live and still get to heaven? Come on. Every time he filled them with the Holy Spirit, they prophesied and sang. They submitted to his will. Even when they didn't start doing it, he took them through a little lesson, gave them another chance, blessed them anyway. That's our story. That's who we are. God has not changed. He's unfolding his plan. God is good and merciful. And God has empowered his people with his Spirit. Would you stand, family? Lord, thank you. Thank you for us taking these last couple of weeks going through the birth of Christ. Your unfolding plan that shows us how much you love you have for your people. And the sacrifice you were willing to make that puts plainly and simply, the plan is, I'm going to be with my people. We fight to pray. We fight to open up our word. We fight to come to church. But your plan that you've instituted is that we would be with you forever. Oh God, you're faithful when we're so unfaithful. You're good. You're kind. You're compassionate, you're long-suffering, you're patient. Thank you, God. You've empowered your people, gave them a guarantee of your promise, not leaving us often. Your son came off that cross, spent 3 days on the ground, was resurrected by your Spirit, the same Spirit you put in us, ascended into heaven, is sitting at your right hand at this moment, promised his return, and even told us what he was leaving to do. To prepare a place for us so that where he is, we may be also. Lord, don't let these days just come and go and we be flippant about the price you paid and what you've done. Zacharias saw it. Not all of those priests saw it. But you chose him. And us being here right now is evidence that you've chosen us. Lord, I pray for the heart that is in this place right now. I can see it with my spiritual eyes, you breaking up fallow ground, Lord. Renew that heart. Give him a heart of flesh, Lord. Bring them to the point of repentance. Let this be the Christmas where they celebrate, I received the greatest gift of all. Jesus died for me, and now I can live and no longer walk in darkness. Lord, we thank you for what you've done this day. It's by the power of your word and the move of your spirit. As we leave this place, let us sing like Zechariah, like Mary, like Simeon, the goodness of God and what he has done. Let us start to use language where we speak in the past tense of promises that we're waiting for, those things that you really promised, Lord. Lord, let us leave this place celebrating, knowing that we can have a great confidence that the good work you begun in each one of us, you're going to bring it to completion in the day of Christ Jesus. And for that, you are worth celebrating. Thank you, Lord. Bless your name. God bless you, family.